Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Kav Dalet Amud Bet. Here we have the reverse of what we've seen until now. Until now we've seen that Kodesh has certain ma'alot that bring it above Truma. Here we have the reverse, which is Chomer B'Truma. These are the certain stringencies that apply to Truma that don't necessarily apply to Kodesh. Shibi Yehuda. In Yehuda, this is talking about the geographical location of Yehuda and the areas around Yerushalayim in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Ne'manim al tarat yayin v'shemen kol yomat ha'shana. They are believed with regards to the tahara of wine that is good for the nisachim, shemen which is good for the menachot. All year long, the amei aretz are believed with regards to the tahara of these objects, because there they say chumrat hakodesh. The kodoshim bring a certain amount of fear with them, and they don't mess around with kodesh. We've seen this, the idea that there's a certain fear with associated with Kodashim, with the Migdash, with anything that is associated with the Migdash. The most famous of those is the Mishnah in Nidarim, where there are these marauders coming into someone's house, and he takes a neder that the items in his house belong to Hekdesh, and all of a sudden they leave, the robbers leave. These guys are not your upstanding citizens at all. But as soon as they hear that it belongs to the Mikdash, they walk away. They won't touch it anymore. So here too, the Amei Aretz, when it's associated with Hekdesh, they don't play games. They think it's the real thing, and they're not going to lie if there's a problem with the Tahara or the Tumah here. Therefore, they have Nemanut all year round with regards to items that are Ra'oi the Mizbeach, things that they are specifically Shomer for the Mizbeach. And as Rashi points out over here, we'll see why this is important. If they made the hekdesh at the time of the harvest, at the time that they're pressing the grapes or they're pressing the olives, then they're believed to keep it tahor from that time throughout the year until it's utilized. That's as far as Kodesh is concerned. At the time of the pressing, at the harvest, when they're pressing the grapes, pressing the olives, at that time, they're believed even on Tarat Truma, because since everybody at that time is pressing, and they know it's important to keep things tahor, they make their kelim, their workers, everybody gets tahor for that season, for the time of the pressing, and therefore they have ne'manut during that time. So you have two statements made here, one with regards to Truma, which is only at Shata Kitot Vabadim. There you are considered to be tahor, or the Amei Aretz are believed to keep the items tahor. As far as Kodesh is concerned, they're believed all year round that it is tahor. Now Rashi pointed out that they're only believed that it's tahor if at the time of the harvest they made it Kodesh. Because what you can't have is if they take it for personal use after the Gitot and then they decide to make it Hekdesh, you've had a period of time where it was his personal item. With regards to his personal items, after Shatak Gitot, we don't believe that he's going to keep it bituma b'tahara. We don't believe he's going to keep it properly. So because of that, if he's makdisha at the time that it's tahor, because we believe him, then he'll maintain that tahara because it is kodesh. Avrua Gitot v'abadim, pressing season is done. Ve'evilo chavit shel yayin shel truma. The Kohen, all of a sudden, Amar shows up at his door, and he says, here, I have some truma for you. But it's not Shatak Gitot, not Shatak Badim. Loi kablena. He may not accept it at that time, because it's most likely truma tmeya, which is problematic. He doesn't want that truma tmeya. Aval. And even with knowledge that this is going to happen, menicha legata ba. Going and tell him to bring it back at the next pressing season. During the pressing season, he's believed about truma tara, even though when he brings it to the Kohen knows that it was from the previous season. It's a kind of a loophole in the system. Here the Amei Aretz holds it over to the next Gat, or the next Bad, but he can give it then, and again, with the knowledge the Kohen knows that he's bringing it, and it's from the last year, so right, technically it's the same thing, but because it's Shata Kitot, it's Shata Badim, he has Nemanut at that time, and we accept it from him. Right, so the easier way to read the Mishnah would be, Ava Minicha, the Gat Abba, is that the Kohen would leave it over to the next Gat, and then only take it out then. But that's not, looking Rashi, you can see that that's not the way they interpret it. They say it's the Amei Aretz is leaving over, and then he brings it to the Kohen, and based on the questions of the Gemara, you can see that's how the Gemara read the Mishnah as well. But I agree with you, the simple language of the Mishnah is that Aval Minicha is referencing back to the subject of the sentence, which is, when he veal lo to him, to the Kohen, Chavit Shel Yayin, Shel Truma, lo yikablena, he won't accept it, But he leaves it over. That really seems to be referencing the Kohen, but that's not the way they read it. They read it as referencing the Am
Haaretz.
He says that along with the Truma, I also was Mafrish Kodesh, Ne'eman. Then he's believed. Migo that he's believed on the Kodesh, he's also believed on the Truma. It's interesting. Wait, Rashi, if you look in Rashi, it's interesting. It says, Revi'it Log, Shemen Ne'eman. If somebody had had a log, Revi'it Log of Shemen, then he is believed. Even though over here, we're talking about Yayin Sho Truma. The way that the Mishnah seems to be flowing is that we're talking about Yayin, and all of a sudden, Rashi says, well, if he has a Revi'it Kodesh of Shemen, he's believed. It might be interesting because the problem here in the Mishnah is, how does he have a Revi'it of Yayin of Kodesh that's mixed together with the Truma? I mean that the Truma and the Yayin of Kodesh can't be separated. Then you have a mix of Kodesh and Truma. The Kohen can't eat it, drink it anyway. It's not going to be helpful to him because the Kodesh has to go to the Mikdash. The Truma is for him, but they're mixed together and there's no way to separate them. That might be what precipitated Rashi saying that there's a Revi'it Log Shemen. It sounds like from the Mishnah that they're mixed together. So one of the solutions might be what Rashi is doing over here. One of the Achronim mentioned this. It's an interesting idea. I don't know if it's really what Rashi meant, but Rashi here is saying Shemen vis-a-vis Yayin, because then there is a natural separation. Oil and wine will not mix, and therefore he has the Revi'it Log of Shemen together with the Yayin, right, in the same barrel. So now he's believed on both of them, and the Kohen can still separate them out. And that was a suggestion that's made. I think it's a chokhmah. It's very interesting, but I'm not sure if that's exactly what Rashi meant. But there is that challenge, which is how to separate between these items if it's betocha. Kadei yayin v'kadei shemen hamidu ma'ot. You have barrels of wine and barrels of oil that are mixtures. Generally, the term miduma means a mixture of truma and chulin, but it could also sometimes reference tevel. Tevel, which is also a mixture of truma and chulin, when you have yet to separate the items. So there, midumat ne'emanim aleihem b'shat gitot v'badim. V'kodim legidot shivim yom. So these kadei yayin v'kadei shemet that have these mixtures in them, they're believed about them at the time of the gitot and the badim, similar to what we saw before, plus 70 days prior to the gitot to the badim, because that's already the preparation time for getting ready for the gitot and badim. So we assume people are already being metaher, all their kelim, and they take care of everything in that period of time. That is 70 days before the gitot and the badim. Now, we mentioned before that Rashi suggests over here that with regards to Kodesh, why he's believed by Kodesh in Yehuda is because he was makdishet b'shata badim or shata gitot when he's already ne'eman. And once he makes it hektesh, then he'll preserve it. Because of the fear of hektesh, he'll make sure that from that point forward it says tahor. Tosafot over here mentions, v'ama rabbeinu achanan, techein yitachin lefereish, dibelo ikdisho b'shata batzir, avlei chulin v'nitma b'tumata amaretz. Based on what Rashi is suggesting over here, that if it wasn't done at that time, the fear, and this is what we mentioned, was that the Am Haaretz himself touched it, made it tamei, and then you can't remove the tumah simply by making it hektesh afterwards. So that's what it sounds like from Rashi. Now, inami, he says, v'ametzinu l'meimar bi'ichdo l'nesachim nami, v'don sh'yadu l'anu sh'chulin hein sh'ichdan. The other possibility is where he clearly segregated it to be nesachim, even though he was not makdishit yet. If he says, I'm going to treat this like nisachim, I'm going to utilize these for nisachim, I don't want to be makdishit yet, but clearly that's the path that he's taking, then maybe he is ne'eman. So the assumption would be that retroactively, he always believed it was hektesh, and therefore he protected it all along. That might be the solution as well to this problem in v'hefrashti l'tocha, which would also solve that problem in the Mishnah, which is that Tosafot suggests he wasn't actually Makdishit, but he had intent to be Makdishit, and since he had intent to be Makdishit, that's sufficient Emat HaKodesh to keep it B'Tahara. That would solve our problem about the mixture now, because he wasn't really Makdishit. He basically says, here's your Truma, but I have intent, or the portion of this which I intended for Hektesh. Once he says that, then he's Neman on the rest, because he treated a portion of it like it was Hektesh, or as if he would use it for Hektesh. So Tosafot's explanation, as opposed to Rashi, avoids some of those problems that we mentioned in the Mishnah.
You say they're afraid. What are they afraid of?
They're afraid of lying. If it becomes Tamei, they'll tell you the truth. It became Tamei because they won't lie vis-a-vis God. And that's the same thing we find in the Gemara here as well. I mean, find in the Mishnah Yot as well. people were deathly scared of taking a Shavuah or a Neder. The assumption was if you took a Shavuah with a Shem Hashem, that nobody messed around with the Shavuah or Shem Hashem. And when somebody does that, that's an affirmation of the fact that they're telling the truth, because this is not something that people take lightly. That's changed over time. People's fear of using God's name in vain, of taking a Shavuah, has diminished significantly. That's why we got rid of the Shavuah and the Neder. That's how, over time, it's diminished as a vehicle for us to use for as a lie detector test. But in their day, it's clear that they were fearful of these items, so fearful that they wouldn't lie under oath, that they wouldn't mess around with Hekdesh. Even the Amei Aretz took this very seriously. And if it became Tamei, they would say something. They wouldn't lie about it. All right. Biyuda in Begalil lo. What's clear from our Mishnah is our Mishnah says this is all true in Yehuda, but in the Galil, it is not true. My Taima, why not? Why aren't the same circumstances also available or existing within the Galil? First of all, you could have people who do things for Hekdesh in the Galil. That's one. Number two is you have Shata Gitot and Shata Badim in the Galil. Why is Yehuda in the Galil different in this manner? So Mar says, my time I'm Reish Lakish, Mnei Shirutzah Shokutim Afseket Benehem. There is this strip of Kutim that separates between the geographical north of Israel and the geographical south. Where exactly along the lines it says it's not clear. It might be that in the time of the Mishnayot, the time of the Tanaim, there is a heavy settlement in the area of the Golan, which is might be what they're calling the Galil. That's where they found like Elazar Kapires, Beit Midrash. We know that there's heavy settlement along that area, partly because that's the route from Bavel back to Eretz Yisrael, partly because there was good land up there for growing. And so they possibly are speaking about the Golan. I mean, there are also settlements in the Galil. And therefore, when you had to come down through to Yehuda, you would pass near the Shomron. And this is referring to the Kutim, the Shomronim. I'm just speculating about where exactly this is. But there is some sort of strip of Kutim that exists between the north and the south. And Chazal designated that area as Eretz HaAmim, foreign land. And we know from other places in Shas that Eretz HaAmim has Tumah. Chachamim associated Tumah with Eretz HaAmim because of the fear of Tumat HaMeit that is buried anywhere, and the Tumat Ohel if it's a Jew, meaning that there were fears of Tumah in Eretz HaAmim. This Machloket in the Gemara Nazir, if that only applies to the Gush, the Eretz itself, or also applies to the Avir, to the airspace of Eretz HaAmim. But either way, this strip of Eretz HaAmim between the Galil and Yehuda basically makes it impossible for someone to have something that they did b'tahara in the north and get it to the Mikdash and have it still be tahor. By definition, once they pass through Eretz HaAmim, it all becomes tameh. So the answer is, yes, possibly in the north you could have set something up and been Kodesh and it would have been have the same features as Yehuda. The problem is that nobody does it because you don't go down to the south. Once you go down to the south, it loses its whole status. So that believability is gone. Right. Truma has the same status, which is Veshata Kitot and Veshata Badim, they are believed. But as far as Kodesh, where in Yehuda they're believed all year round, in the Galil, there is no such concept because there's nothing that can be made Hekdesh that will get to the Mikdash intact. Intact meaning B'tahara. So now Gemara says, wait a minute. Are you so sure you can't get from the Galil to Yehuda B'tahara? Native Bishida Teva Umigdal. Why don't you go in basically an airplane? That's basic answer where the Gemara's version of an airplane, which is you have these boxes, these pieces of furniture, you can basically close yourself up and have someone throw it across the area or transport you across that area where you're not touching the ground. So the two problems you have here are the ground itself you don't want to touch, and number two is the avir. The airspace, according to Rashi here, is problematic. Again, I mentioned a Nazir, it's a Machloket, where the Avir is Mitameh. But then if you're in an Ohel, your self-contained Ohel, that Ohel should protect you from both items. It'll protect you from the ground, and it'll also protect you from the Avir. So it says, Hamani, who's the author of this position in our Mishnah? It's Rabihi, who says, Damar Oel Zaruk Lav Shmei Ohel, that a moving Ohel does not have a classification of an Ohel. Machloket again, Tanaim, as to whether an ohel that is in motion can still maintain its integrity as an ohel. So according to Rabbi, it doesn't. It loses its status of an ohel, and therefore it doesn't protect you when you go across this strip of Eretz HaAmim. Whereas according to other Tanaim, who argue, it does protect you, and that is important because it has an impact in terms of an airplane. Kohanim, who are flying in an airplane, have that same problem, which is that they need protection in an ohel because they're passing over cemeteries, possibly Jewish cemeteries, where there's tumat ohel. So that's an ohel zaruk, which will protect them from the tumah. So that depends on your opinion as to what an ohel zaruk, if it's considered an ohel or not, as to whether they're protected in the airplane or not. Because tumat ohel goes all the way up unless there's something that's mafsik. If there's nothing mafsik, when you fly over that area, you have a problem of tumat ohel. So that would be impacted by this view of whether a ohel zaruk has a din of an ohel. And most of the poskim that speak about this issue are matir for the kohen midin sfek sveka, whether it's sfek sveka in the yuchasin of the kohen or whether it's a sfek sveka as to whether they're really being ma'ahil on a mate, because rov ha'olam is tahor and there's no guarantee that you're going over a kever. The Tanya, we have a writer that talks about this machloka. Nichnas le'eretz ha'amim b'shidat eval migdal. Someone goes into an enclosure in Eretz Amim. Rebbe mitameh, he thinks it's an ol zaruk. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda mitaher. Because Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine, that works in this case. V'laitua b'kli cheres hamukaf tzamid patil. Okay, we have another solution here. Forget about the ol zaruk. Let's use a kli cheres that has a seal on top of it. Kli cheres with a seal on top of it works even in ol amet. It protects against tuma accessing the kli cheres. Because the back of the kli cheres is not mikabel tuma, sealing the top prevents any tuma from going inside of the kli cheres, therefore it could be protected. So stick the kodesh into this sealed kli cheres, and then you'll transport it across that area. So Amar Rabbi Elezer, shonin en hekdesh nitzol b'tzamid patil. That's because hekdesh is not protected inside of a tzamid patil. This is another ma'ala of hekdesh, which is even though technically kli cheres with the seal on it should protect, nevertheless, we don't use it to protect kodesh. Vatanya, don't we have a brighta in chatat nitzalet b'tzamid patil? The component parts of the paraduma, meaning the ashes and the water that you drew for the paraduma, that is not protected by tzamid patil. But what you would be medayik is, my love, ha kodesh nitzol. The fact that chatat is not nitzalet implies that kodesh is nitzol, is protected. Mar says lo. Ha, b'mayim she'enem kudashim nitzolim b'tzamid patil. Now, what it's coming to tell you is that water that was yet to be consecrated to be used for the paraduma, that would be saved. So within paraduma, you can make that distinction. If it's already been mukdash for the paraduma, then it's not protected in tzamid patil. With a kli cheres that is sealed up in oil amate, it will not be protected. Whereas if it's yet to be mukdash, you drew the water, but you weren't makdish the water yet, then that will be protected because it still has a status of chulin, and therefore it'll be okay. But that won't be protected. Shein mikudashim nitzalim b'tzamid, v'amar ula, chavraya midkan b'galila, menichin u'ksheveh oliyahu v'tirena. But doesn't ula tell us that the chavraya, the chaverim, those that are careful about tumantara, madkein b'galila, they are mitaher, or they keep mitara in the galil, which implies that in the galil they were preparing kodesh, alatara, with the assumption they're going to bring up to the mikdash. The Gemara answers, no, they weren't preparing it to take up to the Mikdash, Ella, Menichin, they leave it there. Sheve Eliyahu, V'yitarena. When Eliyahu comes, he'll come and be Mitaheret. So the Chaverim that wanted to be Makdish something, or were Makdish something, or did something that was Kodesh, they sealed it up, and they kept it, and they say they're gonna wait for Eliyahu. Now, what's gonna happen when Eliyahu comes? You would have thought that when Eliyahu comes, V'yitarena means that he'll clear up this whole problem, there won't be any more Eretz Amim there. Rashi says, no, he'll show them a path to get through the Eretz Amim, that is Tahor, which is an interesting solution at the problem of when the Eliyahu will come. Sounds to me more like when Eliyahu comes, there won't be any more status of Eretz Amim in that area, because either it won't be inhabited by the Amim, or Eliyahu, everything will be Tahor at that point in time. So the people in the north are doing this for the future, but they do not transport it through that middle section. And then you see from Ula that that was a problem, and therefore in the north, the Amei Aretz are not believed, because there's no way to transport Kodesh down to the south, Bitara. Ubishat hagitot nemanim ala tshuma. Vriminhi. Hagomer zeitav isher kupachat bitnena la'ani kohen or la'ene kohen. Someone who finishes up his zeitim, he'll leave one basket full, and give that to the Kohen, or the Ani Kohen, or whether it's the Enea Kohen. The suggestion that the Amaretz, when he processes the olives, he presses the olives. When he presses the olives, then you turn into a liquid. A liquid is susceptible to Tumah. Before he presses them, they're not muksha the kabel tuma necessarily, and they're not necessarily susceptible to tuma. So what he does is he leaves over a basket that he does not press, and that basket he hands to the kohen, because that basket is protected in terms of not being a kabel tuma, and the kohen can take it. But what you see from here is that we don't believe him, or we don't trust him to press everything and then say the tuma is bitahara. It's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says b'shata badim and shata gitot is believed. Over here, we're saying that he can't do that. He has to segregate out a piece that he's going to give to the Kohen that he doesn't process, which means that he's just not believed. So the Bright is suggesting he's not believed. Our Mishnah is suggesting that he is believed. That it's a difference between the early ones, the early birds, and the late birds, which is that those that are doing it early or doing it during the regular season, they are believed. If someone is late in the season, is pressing late in the season, he loses the status of being believed. Once the rove of people have finished up their gitot or badim, then nemanut goes away. So if you're in that minority that persists beyond the majority of when the harvest is done and the pressing is done, then you're not believed anymore. So that's the Braita speaking about those late comers, very late pressings. Over there he's not believed, so he has to segregate out the olives. The Mishnah is talking about in the normal season. In the normal season, he is believed. Amar le Rav Ader bar Ava, kagon mai. Give me an example of what it means to be late. So, kotan shobet avicha. He says, like the ones of your father's household. I mean that Rav Ader bar Ava's father's household or their family's trees produced later in the season, and therefore they pressed very late in the season. And because of that, he gives him an example. Like your father's house. You want to know what's considered late, like what they do in your family. Rav Yosef Amar, Biglila Shanu. Yosef gives a different answer and says, the Bright is speaking about the Galil. In Yehuda, they're believed. In the Galil, they're not believed. So somebody asked this question before, but this is interesting. What he's saying is that the Mishnah begins with the word Yehuda. Does the word Yehuda only modify the section about Kodesh, that they believed all year round about Kodesh, not in the Galil? Or does Yehuda modify the next statement in the Mishnah as well, which is, they're believed in the Gitot and Badim in Yehuda, they're not believed in the Gitot and Badim in the Galil? That's Rabbi Yosef's suggestion now, that Yehuda modifies both pieces of the Mishnah, both the Kodesh and the Gitot. And it means that Shat Gitot Batim, they're not believed in the Galil. So Eit Ve'Abaye, Abaye, Rabbi Yosef's Talmud challenges him and says, Ever Yardin V'Galil, Harihen Ki Yehuda. That Ever Yardin and the Galil have the same status as Yehuda. Nemanim Al Yayin B'Shat HaYayin V'La Shemen B'Shat HaShemen. They're believed about wine, at the time of wine, meaning at the wine presses at the Gitot. And on the shemen, and on the oil, b'shat ha-shemen, which means at the time of the badim, at the pressing of the olives, avalo al-yayin b'shat ha-shemen, they're not believed about the wine when they're pressing the olives, lo al-shemen, and not on the oil, b'shat ha-yayin, when they're pressing the grapes. Ela, mechavarta k'deshanina mi'ikar, it's clear that the first answer is the right answer, not the second answer. Rav Yosef's answer does not stand, because here we have a clear statement from the Tosefta that the Galil and Eivar Yardin have the same status as Yehuda, which means the Amiyaris are believed, b'shata kitot and shata badim. If that's the case, that can't be the answer to the Mishnah, the Tosefta, that we brought before, because in the Galil you have the same din as Yehuda. So what's the answer then to reconcile between the Braita or the Mishnah and our Mishnah? Is to say that that is talking about late pressings, versus the Mishnah is talking about in the majority or the mainstay of the pressings. Avru agitot v'badim, ve'evilo chavit shayayin, lo yikablena emena, avu minicha degata ba. They asked Rav Sheshet, a query from him, Avar v'kibla, mahu. What if the Kohen accepted it? Against the suggestion that Chachamim accepts it. Mahu shenichenu legat haba. Why can't he just leave it to the next God? The same way that the Amoritz would do the same thing. Amalu tinitul. We actually learned that in a Tanaic work, in a Mishnah. Chaver v'amaritz yashuot avihem Amoritz. You have a Chaver and Amoritz who inherited their father who was an Amoritz. So now the Chaver can say to his brother, you take the wheat from over there. I'll split the wheat. I'll take the wheat there, you take the wheat there. You take the wine there, I'll take the wine over here. What he can't do is, you take all the liquid stuff, I'll take all the dry stuff. You take the wheat, and I'll take the se'ora. What's the difference between when he splits it that way? First of all, it's an interesting way that they viewed estates. In terms of the estate, they don't look at the estate in terms of total monetary value the way that we do today, but just here, the estate is worth this much, and now let's divide up the value of the estate. That's not the way they viewed the estate. They viewed each component part of the estate as being an item that they had divisibility in, that they split. And that's what Rashi explains over here. That since it's one min, if it's the same item, then you can say Breira. We can say is that when we divided it up, that's the way that it fell to us. That's the division that happened to us. But if you're trading Chitim and Sorim, that's not a case of Breira. That's a case of bartering. You basically gave up all your rights in the Chitim to get all the rights in the Sorim. That's a barter transaction. That means that you took something that he owned. So what you're trying to do is have the Yerusha come directly to you without any interference with the Amaretz. How do I facilitate that? I basically split the items, each item down the middle. And I say, I got this piece, you got that piece. Then the Amaretz never gets ownership over it. And the Chaver gets ownership in the item. And that's how he is solving the problem. But if he splits it in a way that says, you take that and I take this, and they're not the same item, then already he is trading and the Amaretz really got possession of it and sold it to him. And that's not going to work. So that's why he has to do this. Now, the Gemara says, Betani Allah. And on that, we have a modification, qualification by the Tosefta. Oto Chaver Sorefa Lach. That Chaver has to burn the Lach because it became Tamei, it's assumed to be Tamei, and Lee can keep the Yavish. Amai. Why does he have to burn up the Lach? His father was an Amaretz. Now he has Lach, he has a problem. If it was liquids already, it means that his father already pressed it. Father is an Amaretz, so now it's Tamei, or he can assume that it's Tamei. And if it's Truma, it's Truma Tameya, and he can't do anything with it. He can burn it if he's a Kohen, he can burn it for candlelight. If it's something else, he'll have to throw it out. But he can't do is give it back to his brother, who's an Amaretz, because that's Lifnei Iver, Lo Titein Michshol. Because if it's really Tamei, now he's going to cause his brother to engage with Truma Tmeya. So he can't, he doesn't have the option of trading it back to his brother. He has to burn it, he has to get rid of it. So now am I? Yenichena Legata Ba. It's very simple. Why doesn't he just hold on to it till the next pressing season? And then, next pressing season, everything is Mutar, the Gabei Amaretz. So that's the best solution for him. We don't know for certain that it's Tamei, but we assign it as if it's Tamei during the part of time when it's not the Gittot Badim. During the Gittot Badim, it has an assumption of Tara. So that's what I do. I wait until the Gittot Badim. The fact that he doesn't do that shows you that you can't do that. If you had already accepted possession of it, you cannot leave it over to the Gittot Badim. The Gemara says, Davar Shein Lo Gat. Very simple. We're talking about items that don't have a Gat. They don't have a pressing season. So there's nothing to talk about. So we handle the regel. So leave it over to the next holiday. This we haven't done yet, but the Amei Aretz also have Nemanut during the Regel to be Betara, for the same reason that they're Neman by Kodesh, is that during the Regel everybody is Meteir themselves. And also, we're going to see it later on, that it would be almost impossible if we didn't say that about the Amei Aretz, because everybody's together in Yerushalayim, there's too much interaction with them, that if they were Tamei, it would take down the whole system, basically. So they're Yenichenu the Regel, but Devar Hashem Yishtamer the Regel, something that has a short shelf life, and therefore he can't leave it over to the regular. So he doesn't have these options. The Gemara wanted to prove from this that you can't leave it over and be Meteret. Gemara says in the end, maybe it's just talking about items that you can't leave over. That, number one, they don't have a Gat, so they don't have this central time when everything is pressed, everything's done together, so we assume that it's Tahor. And number two is, oh, leave it over to the regular. That's a case where it has a short shelf life. It won't last until the regular. But any Achanami, had he been able to do it, it would have worked. So we have no proof from this. And again, the Gemara leaves this unresolved as to whether once the Amaretz is given to the Kohen, you can use the same, basically, loophole that the Amaretz uses, which the Amaretz leaves it until the Gat. Can the Kohen, once he's accepted it, leave it over to the Gat and accomplish the same thing? The Tosafot asks you a question, which is, how did they ever get? We know that they distributed Afer of the Paraduma all around, up to the north as well. How did they get the Afer Parah there? By passing through that strip of Eretz Ami. And how were they ever Ola the Regel without becoming Tamei Tumat Mei to requiring Hazash Lishi Bishvi? Tosa leaves it as somewhat of a Tzar Chiyun. The Hagot Mirotchenberg over here says that no problem. They did it the same way that they did with the Para Duma. When they were preparing the Para Duma, they used to put the children on top of Shvarim with these wooden planks. They created an Ohel on which they stood. And since it was attached to the ground, it's not called an Ol Zaruk. And that's allowed them to avoid problems of Tumat Tahom and Tumat Ha'ohel. And he says that's the same way that they transported themselves through this Eretz Amim in order to be Tahor when they were Ole the Regel. V'yamamari frashti the tochar revit kodesh ne'eman. It's not hatam. We have a Mishnah in Olot. Modim beit Shemai beit Hillel. Shebudkim lo se Pesach ven budkim lo chle truma. You're allowed to do checks for people who are doing the Pesach. We're not allowed to do checks for people eating truma. My budkim. What is this bodek that we're speaking about here? I'm going to review them as well. Minapeach adam beit pras ve'olech. Person's allowed to blow on a Beit HaPras and then go through it. Beit HaPras is a field in which there was a kever that was plowed over, and because of the plowing, it distributed the kever all over the field, and we no longer know where the mate is. The assumption is that when it plowed, it broke apart the mate, or the pieces of the mate, and therefore there's no longer a single area where the mate is concentrated, or basara mate that's there, because it's already probably bones. So there's no tumata ohel that's left, because you don't have sufficient amount of tuma in one place or location to be tumata ohel mate. On the other hand, for tumat maga umasa, maga means to touch it, masa means to carry it or hesed to move it, that all you need is a etzem kise ora. You just need a bone the size of a lentil size, and that would make you tameh. So our fear is, and when you walk through this field, it's not that you're ma'hil on a mate. We're not worried about tumat ohel. So as far as tumat ohel is concerned, there's no issue. Our fear is that when you walk in the field, you're going to actually step on a bone, a fragment of a bone, or you'll step on an area that'll cause a fragment of the bone to move, and that's how you become tameh. So what can you do? You get down on your hands and knees, and you blow in front of you. When you blow in front of you, you clear away the area. You can clearly see that there are no bones in your way, and that will permit you, we allow you to do that, to cross over this field in order to bring your Pesach. If you have a pathway that goes through this field that's well-worn, then you can go through it, because you've done the same thing. By the fact that many people have gone through there, you've hardened the dirt, and there's no longer any bones. Whatever bones were there got pushed to the side or depressed inward, so you're not going to step on a bone, and you're not going to move it, because there's no soft earth there anymore. So if it's already well-worn or well-walked, you can also go through there to bring your Pesach. Lo himidu divrayim b'makom karet. Chachamim did not stand up their position or hold their position that a beit pras, a field that has this type of tumah in it, makes you tamei, and you may not pass through it, in the place of face of karet. If you don't bring your korban Pesach, you're chayav karet. So for Pesach, they gave a dispensation to allow you to do this, to get through this field, either by blowing or walking through a path that is well-worn. Lo chlei tumah. On the other hand, with Truma, which is only a chi of mita bidei shemayim, over there, they were mamid divrehem. There they said, no, you can't go through this field. You go through this field, even if you blow through it, even if it's a well-worn field, you are tamei. So now the question is, but Dr. Pischo, if he checked out the field for his Pesach, ma'ush yochol b'trumato. Once he's crossed through the field, is he okay for Truma now? Similar to the vein of our Mishnah, which is, I have something I did for Kodesh that gives me Ne'amanut by the Truma. So same thing here. Now I pass through the field in order to do my Pesach. Does that make me also Tahor for my Truma? So just like he can participate in the Pesach and he's not Tameh, can he also participate in the Truma or eat Truma at that point in time? Ulamar badak the pisko mutar lechol b'trumato. He checked it for Pesach and he's considered to be Tahor for his Pesach. He's also considered to be Tahor for the consumption of Truma. Rabbi Barulo Amar, we bifurcate the din, but Dr. Pischo, asur lechol b'trumato. He's tohor for Pesach, he's tamei with regards to his truma. So Amar lehu Saba, this elderly man who was there, said, lo tiflog alei dula. Don't argue on Ula. Ula's position, which is that if you're tohor for the Pesach, you're also tohor for the truma. That's non-kavate. We have a Mishnah that supports Ula's position. V'im Amar, hifrashti letocha revi'it kodesh, our Mishnah. If I separate out kodesh inside of it, ne'aman, he's believed. Alma midvehemin al kodesh mehemin nami a truma. Since he's believed for a kodesh, he's also believed for the truma. It's our migo of our mishnah. Hachinami midvehemin a pesach. Since he is believed about the pesach, I mean he's classified as tohor for the pesach. Mehemin nami a truma. He's also believed about the truma. It's a diok out of our mishnah that is the case. And therefore, if one clears the area in a tahor state for the pesach, he will also be classified as tahor regarding the truma. Kadei yayin v'kadei shemen. The barrels of wine, the barrels of hektesh, that's the end of the Mishnah. Tana, eina nemanim ala lekankanim v'lo ala truma. They're not believed on the barrels themselves, and not on the truma. So Gemara says, kankanim demai. Which barrels are we talking about here? I kankanim de kodesh. If we're talking about barrels that held items that were kodesh inside of them, migo de mehemen a kodesh, mehemen nami a kankanim. If he's believed about the kodesh, you should also be believed about the barrels. You can't say what was inside is tahor, but the barrels are tameh. You could say that, but Rashi says we don't like that. Why? It's very interesting. Rashi says this over and over again in this little sugya here. He says, shignaihu lemizbeach. It is a denigration of the mizbeach, or desecration in a sense of the mizbeach. Shedei truma hamichuberet lo b'chezkat tuma v'hektesh yikrab the mizbeach. That the item that contained the hektesh in it will be classified as tameh, and the kodesh that was inside of it will be tahor. It's something that would be inconceivable here, that you could bring something to Mizbeach, and then the item that carried it, or the item that was associated, would be Tameh. It's just not right. Just the perspective of Mizbeach, anything that has to do with Mizbeach, it's got to be completely tahor. That means the item's tahor, and everything that took care of it was tahor. Ella, kankanim de truma. If you're talking about the barrels of truma, pshita, hashra truma lo mehemen, a kankanim mehemen. There, with regards to truma, the Amaris isn't believed to keep it b'tahara. So if he's not believed about the truma, why would he be believed about the barrels, that the barrels are tahorim? What is the case here? Ella, bereikanim de kodesh. U'b'shar yimot ha'shana. We're talking about empty barrels of kodesh the rest of the year round, or obelaim de truma ubishat gitot, or they're filled with truma at the time of the gitot. So the time of the gitot, the amarz is believed with the truma. So the question is he also believed with regards to the kankanim, the barrels? The rest of the year, they're believed about kodesh, but here it's an empty barrel. It's empty now. It doesn't have kodesh in it. What's the status of that barrel that he wants to use for kodesh, and he intends to use for kodesh? Is that enough? So they, what is the bright to say? Einamanim, lo ala kankanim. They're not believed with regards to the kankanim. These kankanim are not considered to be tor. Tanan, our Mishnah, kadei yayin v'kadei shemen hamedumaot. A barrel of wine, a barrel or a pitcher of wine, pitcher of oil that are medumaot, that are mixtures. Mailav medumaot de truma. What are we talking about here? That they're mixtures of truma. And nevertheless, it says that it is ne'aman on the kadim. Amrei debei Rabbi Chiya medumaot de kodesh. These are mixtures of Kodesh, which is really wild, because that's generally not where the terminology of Nduma is used. The terminology of Nduma is used by Truma that's mixed with Chulin or by Teva. Over that's why the Gemara assumed that we're talking about Truma, and he's believed about the Kankanim or the Kadim. Our Mishnah says that Kadeh Shemen, Kadeh Yayin, you are believed about them when they have Nduma in them. Against what we just suggested in the Braita, that when you have Shemen, Bishata Gitot, that the Shemen is okay, but the barrels are not okay. So he says, no. Our Mishnah is not talking about Meduma of Truma, it's talking about Meduma of Kodesh. Where it says, Umiika Dimua the Kodesh. What type of Dimua do you have by Kodesh? In Truma, you have Tevel, which contains within it Truma and Chulin. So you have a natural mixture that exists. In Kodesh, where do you have one aspect that is Chulin and one aspect that is Kodesh? Kodesh is either Kodesh or it's not Kodesh. What type of Dimua are we talking about here? Where it says, Amamre Debe Rabbi Loi, Bitaher et Tivlo, he told me menu nisachim. It's a case where he's being mitaher his tevel. He's keeping his tevel tahor because he wants to use the chulin that comes off of this for hekdesh. Similar to the way Tosafot explained our Mishnah, that even when the Amaris intends to use it for kodesh, that's enough that we know he'll keep it bitara. So the mixture here, it's a kodesh mixture. Why is it called dimua? Because it's really truma. It's truma that's tevel. Tevel contains within it truma and chulin. So that's the demua that we're talking about here. So why is it protected in our Mishnah? Because in our Mishnah, it has a status of Kodesh. Why does it have a status of Kodesh? Because he intends to use the chulin part of this tevel for Kodesh. That's why he's believed about the Kodesh and the barrels, which as we said now. He's believed about what's inside the barrels by Kodesh. He's also believed about the barrels. That's what our Mishnah is saying. But we quoted over here, the Braita that we said over here, that lo ne'manim ala kankanim, that's referring to a case of just truma. When it's just truma, yes, Jeshata Gitot, he's believed on the truma, but he's not believed on the barrel. There, we don't have this aspect of genai. Genai the Mizbeach. It'd be terrible for the Mizbeach that if you brought the item on the Mizbeach and then items associated were with Tameh. But yeah, we're okay with that. The truma will be Tahor, and the barrel will be Tameh, and we're okay with having that din be split with regards to truma. We're not okay with that when it comes to Kodesh. Right now, the last piece of the Mishnah. Kodem the Gitot Shivim Yom. You prepare 70 days before it has a din of tara. So Amar Abaye Shmamina. From this you would conclude, Dinahu Dilavei Al-Risa L'mitrach Al-Gufe Shivin Yomi Mikame Ma'atzarta. That the sharecropper has an obligation as part of his job to take care of the harvest and the pressing, that he has to prepare the kelim 70 days in advance. These gufi, these pitchers, that he pitchers and kelim that he's going to use for the processing over here, he must get them ready or start getting them ready 70 days before. Because you see from our Mishnah that 70 days before the Gitot is already considered to be part of the time of the Gitot. And the Amarites are granted their exemption for Tahara during that period. Why? Because that's the proper time, the normal time to get ready. So if you're an Aris, you're a sharecropper, you're bound by the normal timeline or activities of people who are doing this. So therefore, 70 days before, he should start getting ready for the pressing for the Gitot and the Badim. Okay, we'll stop over here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Bet.